Dan, we appreciate you making some time for us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with the game from Sunday. How are you feeling after the second win of the year?
Look, I always feel good after a win. They're hard to come by in this league. And, you know, I tell you what really, you know, what makes you feel good is to know the type of game we were going to need to play to beat that opponent. You know, it was going to be a little bit of a, you know, lunch pail, hard hat type game, man. Dirty work in the trenches, and it was going to require everybody, receivers, DBs, the whole deal. And I tell you what, they responded in a huge way. You know, I thought our big set the tone, and we played a rugged physical game, man, for that win. Proud of them.
And I mean, nobody's going to complain about a win. We always have some questions. What was the difference in the second half, specifically the third quarter, versus the first, where you scored on the first two possessions? It seemed like you were able to move the ball consistently, and then the second half and the third quarter, it wasn't as consistent.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, you can go through the drives. It was, you know, it was one thing here, one thing there. I mean, you come out and, man, we're in a third and one, and then we have a false start, you know, backs us up. And so I would have felt pretty confident about getting that first down. Then you get in a third and six, we end up, you know, we don't convert on it. You know, you come back on the next possession and you know, we throw an interception. We just, you know, they ran a kind of a change pressure. So, you know, a couple errors there, a couple different guys. You know, we come back out, defense gets a huge stop. You know, Carlton makes that huge play on fourth and one. I felt like that was a critical play in the game. And I also felt like that was the time when we needed to finish this game. You know, it was where you felt like we got to try to put them away there. And, man, we get in a fourth and one. And it's really the one play the whole game where we get knocked back, you know, up front. And so we get, you know, we don't convert there. And so it was just kind of one thing after another. But, you know, I thought we started outstanding. I thought the offense set the tone, that O-line did. And then I thought defense, man, finished it. And special teams in the second half. So it was a total team effort. I was proud of those guys.
You've been a team that's won a lot with offense. Are you starting to be the type of team that can also win with defense now?
Absolutely. We can win any way we need to win, and that's what you love, man. When you have three units that are playing in sync, and you have the ability to play any type of game you need to, depending on what's going on, or if you know, one unit needs a little bit of pick me up at different times, that's a good feeling. And I feel like that's what we got. Our defense is playing at a very high level. They have for 3 weeks going now. AG's doing an outstanding job. And those guys understand the plan, what it's going to take to defend the opponent. And we're playing physical, violent, smart, disciplined football right now. And they're a difference maker, man. They are. And offensively, you know, there's always things that we're going to want to clean up, but the objective is to score more than the opponent. Our defense can't allow them to score more than our offense, and that's what's going on right now.
I know when I was playing, there's always things that happen on the field that you got to laugh at in the moment, and I don't know if you saw it or even understood it at the time, but David Montgomery picking up 6 yards
with his
feet not even touching the ground. What was your reaction, and what was David's reaction when he came to the sideline?
Well, look, really that whole game, just the nature of that, but even that play is like mother's milk when you're a baby. If you want to know the truth. It was just, I mean, it's food for the soul. It was outstanding. That guy fought for every blade of grass, and then your old line is just surging. I mean, and they finished, and really the whole game was that way. I mean, our backs were driving for every yard, and then you see here comes the O-line, here comes St. Brown, our tight ends, everybody is just pushing the pile. And that one, hell, we got 16 yards on that. I mean, that's nothing but willpower and effort, you know, and it was awesome.
We're talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell. What are you still chuckling over the...
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Dan, we want to get some updates on some injuries. I know you spoke yesterday with the media on most of these guys, but Frank Ragnow, we saw the report, torn pec week to week. We know he's tough. Is the thought maybe rest him with the bye week looming, or do you think the plan is to play him for the upcoming game?
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, Frank is stubborn, all right? And he's hard-headed Frank, and he's tough, he's stubborn, and so, you know, he wants to go, and he always wants to go. But, this is something we're still talking about right now. I'm not entirely sure what we're going to do with him. A lot of it is, where is he going to feel by, you know, middle or end of the week? But he does have something in there, you know, and he did play through some of this last week, you know, and so we'll do what's best for him and what's best for us in the moment, ultimately. But you know how I feel about Frank. We all do. Appreciate the heck out of him. He's tough, man.
Marcus Davenport, it sounds like you mentioned that he's going to be out for the rest of the year. Who, other than Josh Pascal, who helps fill that void? And is there any chance we see a little bit more of James Houston?
Well, I don't know that yet. Like, I would tell you this, Pascal's going to take on a much bigger load. Mm-hmm. You know, Pascal's going to be, obviously, he and Hutch are your ends. Levi's going to need to do some of that, which he did in training camp. There's a good chance, you know, we could bring somebody up off the vet squad or the practice squad. You know, Houston could be a candidate. So we know we're going to need to bring in some reinforcements for sure, just losing that body. You know, and Davenport was playing at a high level. It hurts losing him. He's been a force in there. But we also, it's why you have the depth that we have and the players that we've acquired. Brad's done a hell of a job, and we've always identified that depth is important, man, and you got to have it. So we have guys that we know are going to step up and do a hell of a job for us. They're ready for it, and everybody in this building knows. Like, you are one play away, and it's your chance. It's your opportunity to help your team and showcase what you got.
James Houston, healthy scratch for the two of the three games this season. There's maybe a disconnect from fans to the way that you guys have deployed him this season. I don't know that I consider him in the doghouse, but you don't seem like he's maybe the next guy up. Where does he need to get to maybe be the pass rusher he was at the end of 22?
I think he just keeps working, you know. And there again, it's so much of it is who do you sit if he comes? You know, everybody that we have up right now is playing at a pretty high level on defense, and they all have a role, you know, between defense and special teams. So that's kind of where it's been. As long as he just keeps working, and you know, and when he gets his opportunity, make the most of him. You know, as with any player here.
Monday night, there's plenty of juice there. The black uniforms, which I know that you were a big proponent of, we were told yesterday, there's plenty of juice there. Seattle, outside the division, they're a team that has kind of been the nemesis. Is there a little extra juice knowing that it's Seattle coming to town?
Well, yeah, it'd be nice to beat these guys since we haven't done it. I mean, you know, they've been one of those teams that's kind of had our number, but, you know, I think more importantly it's for the win itself. You know, Coach Carroll's gone, and it's a whole new – it's a brand-new regime over there. There's a lot of new players. There are some holdovers, but I do kind of feel like, man, this really is a different team, new team that we're getting ready to face. They're playing good football. You know, as you said, they're undefeated here. And so this is a good opponent coming in here, man. They play outstanding defense. They're going to grind it out on the ground. You know, Walker's a hell of a back. And then Geno's, you know, he's playing well. They got the receivers. So, you know, this is going to be a pretty big test for us.
Obviously, there's been improvement in the secondary from last year to this year. And you just mentioned it. How big of a test will this be with Metcalf in Jigba, all of the receivers that they have for Terrion Arnold and the cast of characters that you guys have in the secondary?
Yeah, it'll be big. I mean, it's, you know, it's another group of good receivers that it's time to face. And, you know, they got good players. They got a mixture of different types of players, like you said, between Metcalf and Jigba and those guys. I mean, it's, they all kind of do different things, and they're playing pretty well. But, man, I love where we're at, man. I love our secondary. I think CD is playing at a high level. I thought he had an outstanding game yesterday or 2 days ago. You know, I think Terrion Arnold gets better every week. I think Amik is getting better, man. He's playing in the slot. I think he's competitive, outstanding cover man. And then our safeties are playing at a high level. And I think collectively, the more they play together, the better that unit is gonna be on the back end. So we continue to grow. They continue to get better. And then collectively, it's only gonna get better. Time on task, and those guys communicating, playing with each other.
It's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. We're all excited for Monday night. Appreciate some of your time.
Absolutely. You guys take care.
Thanks. It's 97.1.
If your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Jared, as always, thanks for being with us and coming off a win on the road in Arizona. How do you guys feel this week?
Yeah, I feel good. Anytime you get a road win is a good time. And they were a good team, and they are a good team, and they were all coming on hot off a big win. And it was a good one to get.
It's crazy because you say anytime you get a call or get a win, it's a good thing. When you look around the NFL and see that Sunday and Monday, and I don't know how much attention, you probably pay no attention to who's favored and who's not, but the four biggest underdogs all won outright. What does that say about the league?
Yeah, I just think there's a ton of parity. Yeah, there is, and it happens every year where teams come out of nowhere and win games, and vice versa, where teams that you expect to be great aren't, and you try to take it 1 week at a time and get better every week. I think that's something we're good at, but it's hard, man. It really is.
Where do you see the differences in that, though? I mean, everybody wants to work hard. Everybody's trying to work hard. But are there little nuances that you can kind of let people in on things that you guys do specifically that maybe get you better prepared?
You know, I don't know. I'm not in the other 31 buildings. But our process seems to work for us over the last, year and a half, two and a half years. And it's been fun. Dan does a great job keeping us focused and letting us know what the task at hand is each week. I think he does a great job of laying out the game plan for us and making sure we know how we're going to attack each team.
Can you describe what it's like to see another blue wave on the road with these Lions fans? I mean, do you guys talk about it on the sidelines or in the locker room about how amazing it is to have the support?
Yeah, that one was insane. Really, it really was. It was really cool to see. And running out of the tunnel, usually you get booed. And I that was the first one I've ever experienced where we weren't getting booed. We were getting cheered, and it was loud. And it did feel like a home game at times. And we've had a lot of good blue waves, and that one may be at the top of the list up to this point. And I'm excited to see it keep going.
Can you give us a tangible difference what it was like being the hunter and now knowing that everybody is shooting and gunning to beat the Lions? Is there something that you can say, here's what I've noticed is different?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think sometimes you end up getting things on defense that maybe you hadn't seen on film yet. So they're throwing something at you for the first time. And that's not to say that, that's because they want to beat us more than some other team. I think it's to say that they respect us as an offense and even as a defense, and want to throw something new at you to try to beat you. And yeah, it's sure. We are seen as the hunted now. We did win the NFC North and went deep into the playoffs, but at the same time, it's still early, and we got to still prove ourselves.
How much more fun is it to be, though, that team that is counted on to be a contending team?
Yeah, it is fun. It is fun to be the underdog, too, but it is fun to be the contending team. And, you hope to be. And we're 2-1 right now. I think it's still early, like I said. Everyone has their external expectations. And we're just staying steady 1 week at a time, trying to improve and trying to get better.
All right, you guys come out, and everybody knew about the red zone issues. You go right down the field and score, and you do it a few times in the first half. I mean, maybe we made too much out. It was just kind of a one-off as far as the red zone's concerned. But how much focus was there going into that game to get off to a fast start and finish drives in the end zone.
Yeah, we of course we wanted to do that. I don't think we put much stock into what happened the week before. It was just, yeah, like you said, in our opinion, kind of a one-off and something that we addressed and seemed to fix, and we'll move forward that way and hopefully don't have to deal with that again.
And it felt like you had the whole menu in that first half, like, and everything was working. You didn't throw an incomplete pass. Was that this offense at its peak in the first half of that game?
Yeah, I think that felt like us. I think, you know, there's maybe you sprinkle in a couple of downfield hits there and you're really feeling like us and feeling good about, you know, blowing that game open at some point. But yeah, that first half was close to about as good as it gets. And then the second half was really, you know, kind of unacceptable from us from an offensive standpoint, and something that we've addressed and need to get better at. And there's some urgency to us for us in that way of, we can't just allow our defense to have to carry us through at the end there. And we got to try to blow that game open and make it easier on them and finish that game a lot earlier.
That's interesting. You say it's unacceptable. Like, you guys look in the mirror and see it was more about you. You guys did something wrong
in the second half?
Yeah
certainly. It's just execution. And why does that happen for one half to the second half? I don't know. They didn't do much different. It wasn't like we were doing much different. Just, it wasn't clicking the same, and, you know, mistakes were made, and I got to be better, and we all got to be better. But I think there's a lot of urgency this week to pick our stuff up offensively, and certainly in that second half, we'd like to replicate that first half for a whole game, and we'd feel pretty good.
You know, it's fun to watch a game like that where all three aspects of the game of a team game, like special teams, offense, and defense, come through. And, you know, maybe the offense didn't do as well in the second half, but Jack Fox.
Oh.
What Jack Fox is able to do, I think, you know, on a national scale, it goes completely under the radar because it's the punting game. But you guys get to see it, let alone every day in practice, but games on Sundays and Mondays, to see what Jack Fox does, you know, how much does that just make you guys smile? And thank God we have Jack Fox.
Yeah, it really is a luxury to have. He's, in my opinion, he's the best in the league. And, you know, he's so consistent. He's so reliable. I mean, I don't know how many times we punted in the second half, but we needed good ones every time, and every time it seemed to be a good one. And then I think that coupled with, you know, the gunners, we have Dorsey running down there and downing those. Dorsey's as good of a gunner as there is in this league. And when you got guys like that who put it lay on the line every time, every play, and then a great punter like Jack, it really does become a luxury for us.
You know, the first week, the thing you guys had to clean up was the third down conversions. Then it was the red zone efficiency. What needs to be cleared up the most from an offensive standpoint this week going into the game on Monday night against Seattle?
You know, I don't know if there's one thing. I think it's just an overall urgency to get better and to improve, and to know that, you know, what we've been maybe getting away with winning won't be able to get away with as time goes on. We know that's the reality. We can't continue to score, you know, 20 points and no points in the second half and expect to win the amount of games we'd like to win this year. So we know that, and we'll keep improving. I thought Dan said it great yesterday. Is, you know, we fix stuff as we go, and we're able to keep winning. But as we go, we keep fixing stuff, and you get to the point at the end of the year, hopefully you're looking up, and you know, you don't have much to fix anymore. But you're always trying to improve. You're always trying to get better, and I think that's what this early part of the season is for, is for us to fix things and get on a little bit of a roll at some point.
I read somewhere that players just love trick plays. The hook and ladder. Does that play have a special name?
Yeah, it does. It was called Shake and Bake.
From Talladega Nights?
Yeah, it's still right from Talladega Nights. We've been cooking that one for quite some time, and I think we started doing it in OTAs, and it was a brainchild of Ben, and he thought about it. He kind of brought it to me one day. He's like, "You think we could do this?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, we can do that." And Gibbs and St. Brown, we repped it with them, shoot, up to this point, probably 10 to 20 times in practice. And so when it came up in the game, it was really like clockwork, just getting it done.
So who named it Shake and Bake?
Ben. That was Ben's, yeah.
Well, if you ain't first, you're last. I mean, that's how that
right.
works.
That's
Seattle has been a tricky opponent over the past several years with the Lions. What is it about them that makes them so difficult to play against? And do you guys use this for motivation at all, that you haven't beaten them in a while?
Yeah, sure. I think we haven't beaten them in a while. What has it been, 3 years in a row they've came to Detroit and beat us? And or maybe that first year we went to Seattle. I can't quite remember, but we haven't beat them in a while. And, it does mean something to us, certainly, but they're a good team, man. They really are. They're good on offense. They're good on defense. They're good on special teams. When Pete Carroll was there, they were very well coached, obviously, and McDonald's there now, and they're still well coached and, are a great team, and we'll have our hands full.
All right. This may or may not be a thing. The black uniforms. How do you feel about the black uniforms?
I love them. They're great. They're great. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you care. Like, some players don't care. We work with John Jansen. He's like, just give me a shirt. He doesn't care. But does it fire you guys up at all that you got this special uniform?
Hell yeah. I think they're cool. I think they're really cool. It makes me think about, like, Calvin and that picture of him and Roy Williams with the gray pants. I don't know what we're wearing pant-wise this week, but yeah, it'll be cool.
How different is the pregame prep for a Monday night game versus a 1 o'clock start? Do you get thrown off a routine, or you've been around the league long enough where you've had Monday night games and you can just get into a whole new routine?
Yeah, you've been around, you've done it. I mean, especially here now, we've had night games, it seems like, more often than not in the last, you know, think about how many home games we've had. Last five home games, I think three or four of them have been night games going back to last year. So we've got a pretty good routine with it now and feel good about it.
Squirrels, deer, or chipmunks? What was going on there?
Yeah, he's barking at nothing. He just barks at whatever it is. There's a shadow, he's barking at it.
Jared, thanks for your time. Good luck. Look forward to talking next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Jared Goff, Lions quarterback, joins us every Tuesday, although pushed back to Wednesday this week with their schedule being shifted for the Monday night game, here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
No lies told today. Only truth as we see it. Gentlemen, how is everybody? Super. Don't care. Let's get into it, Rico. We got a defense. That's my headline today. We'll get to the Tigers at some point, but what's the purpose? They're a mortal lock to make the playoffs. We've been beating up on Fangraphs. The Rico graph has been the true barometer.
Yeah, I like the new updated number.
97.1%. It would take an act of God for you to miss the playoffs. But we'll get to it. Lions, I don't know. The only takeaway for me was back to basics. Run the football, 200 on the ground. We're not going to have Jared Goff turn into, you know, Air Coryell. And defensively, punts or wins. I thought the defense made Kyler Murray look stupid in the second half. No?
They did. The defense really corralled him, Mike, because I was expecting, you know, the whole mobile QB, he's going to break plays. No, you contained him. I mean, he had a couple spots, but other than that, and especially in the second half, they got three. Everybody's going to say, well, the Lions didn't score. They scored 3 points, okay? You held them to three.
It's back-to-back weeks. Your defense has dominated high-powered offenses. And I think that's the headline because long-term, I don't have any doubts about the offense. I don't like what I'm hearing with LaPorta. If you're asking me, I'm not a doctor, but a high ankle sprain, I'm not playing through that because that'll linger all year. I think you shut him down if it's a true high. Yeah, you shut him down for a month. And we got to go play. Like, I need Sam LaPorta right for December and January and February. The defense is what you needed, right? You needed it in San Francisco, and it wasn't there for you. Rico, I'm not turning the Bucs and Cards into, you know, the peak Niners when they're healthy. It's just, I'm very encouraged. Now, again, here's my surprise face. Oft-injured player is injured. Marcus Davenport with, you know, a serious elbow
issue.
You
were hoping you can get to at least week six. It didn't happen that way. Now, even Terrion Arnold got picked on early. And as I told people, he's going to be good, but yeah, he's a rookie, and he's going to get those rookie calls. And by that means they're going to call him for every little ticky-tack thing. Play through it, go back out there, don't get frustrated. And then later on in the game, he had a couple, they had him up against Marvin Harrison Jr., and he made the stops. Harrison didn't catch the ball.
Lions defense looks aggressive. They look athletically superior to last year's unit. And young players have a right to get better, right? So I'm with you. I just would like to know where you guys are at. Look, every game is not going to be a work of art and a 42-3 destruction. I take yesterday in today's NFL, that's an A-plus win. You went on the road as a field goal favorite and largely dominated the team you faced. After that first drive, what did Arizona really do on offense all day?
Not much.
No, Bo Diddley.
Not much.
And you lined up physical, first time since that Rams overtime. Did you feel, hey, line of scrimmage is moving? O-line played their best game. Agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the epitome of that, Mike, is picking up Montgomery and carrying him 5 yards.
Like literally.
Like he was at a Jewish wedding. Like, where are we going with him? He's just, okay, and there he is, 5 yards later.
No, so, and again, if you want to quibble about stuff, I'm good with it. When you're a Super Bowl-type team and you want perfection, I'm not telling you it's perfect. Oh, Goff threw a pick. Yeah, it was actually a really good zone blitz. Sneaky to take your number one edge and a guy leading the team in sacks and Gardock and drop him into coverage, and he flashed, and Goff made a mistake.
Yeah.
But let's not act like it was Will Levis. So I'd like to know where you guys are at with it. I think it stabilized things. It calms things. Now you come home. You're going to face – listen, I will say this. Aiden is having a hell of a year. I'm not knocking him. But this is the most unbelievable streak of facing backup tackles you're ever going to see. Guess what he's going to get to see next week? Backup tackles in Seattle. Aiden might have 40 sacks if he faces 17 backup tackles. So you're home. You're settled. You're going to have the home field advantage. And then we got to stop the voodoo. Enough with Rico's hero, Geno Smith. We are not allowing this man to come in here and win again.
That's my hero.
Damn Geno Smith.
No, here's the thing that I like that the Lions did. And it was the controversial play. It looked as if it was a pick six in the air right before the 2-minute warning.
It was.
They turned. But what they did was smart. Knowing that Arizona's still upset over that, hey, how about this trick play for a touchdown while you're over there bitching to the refs? There you go.
It's something for tomorrow's show, not today. But Rico is hitting upon something. The state of NFL officiating has never been worse. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And I mean, don't even get me started on Chiefs in Atlanta. We'll just leave it for tomorrow. But it is the officiating in this sport is making the sport itself hard to watch. It's brutal. And you're right. Missed calls. Please get a notepad. For I love a sport who wants to review more stuff, but all that's doing is having them miss more things.
But this is not reviewable. But they took that and used it to their advantage while Arizona is still upset about that. Yeah, how about this trick play? And now we're going to go into halftime.
And look, here's what we'll do. Rico, if you're okay with it, I mean, I'll leave it open-ended if people want to call about the Tigers. But there's, guys, I mean this, and it's the ultimate compliment I can pay you, is I've been saying for weeks, Fangraphs can go to hell. Your odds are way better. But we've reached mortal lock stage. Like now, I view the Tigers' playoff chances. Now it's a disappointment if they don't close this thing out and I have to start Scooble next weekend. Literally.
Yeah.
There's no drama. As we have been telling you, Kansas City and Minnesota especially, they can't win games.
I mean, we are watching the Voodoo Live as Costa and I are doing the Lions pregame show, and it's NFL games on all the different monitors at B-Dub. It's one with the Tigers, and Mike, that's what everybody was watching. And we're like,
wait. Saturday afternoon, Rico. Orioles tied at 4, bottom 9, second and third, nobody out. And the Tigers got out of that. Yeah. Cue the Godsmack. Yeah, that's Voodoo.
Parker Meadows goes up, takes home run away, and he keeps it tied.
He's a Gold Glove caliber center fielder, and he's a weapon, but it's Voodoo. Like, let's just be real.
It is.
But it's also reached mortal lock phase. But we can get to that as a separate topic, but if you're all horned up to talk baseball on a Monday, God bless. I don't care. Rock and roll. We wanted to save some of the college stuff. Because if you get me going on it, I won't stop. It's going to be a problem.
We'll save.
Well, to hell with it. You know what? Maybe I won't be here tomorrow. We could just do it all today.
You'll be here
tomorrow. Maybe I'll just not show up. 248-539-9797. David, the 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers number one fan, Mr. Hatchett, your thoughts on the Lions?
Must be nice to be so privileged.
I know. What is it like where your team can't score in a whorehouse, but you're 3-0?
I don't know. I think we're going to be the third pick of the NFL draft. So.
Yeah, see, you're right. I'll take that. What I won't take is not so good Detroit Lions offense.
Oh, dear.
I'm not impressed with what I saw yesterday. The defense, sure. It's the offense that I have the problem with. You need a trick play to score?
Oh, Scott, David, that was a brilliant hook and ladder.
I'm sorry.
That was brilliant.
You should have been down.
Who's the deflator today?
You should have been down 14-13 at halftime. That was an interception. They got the ball off before the 2-minute warning. You would have been losing, and then your offense did nothing in the second half. So if you're losing at halftime, and then your offense does nothing, which has done nothing all year, then you would have lost that game. You should have lost that game. That offense is pathetic right now.
David, here's what I'll say. I cannot agree with you. I can't agree with much of what you said. It's your opinion. The only thing that I will say, I had one problem yesterday. On the 4th-and-1, kick a field goal, go up 2 scores. It's math, okay? It's not bravado. It's not, that was my only, like, no. Kick the field goal, because one day he may have to make this field goal in real life. If he misses it, you still have the lead. But that was my only gripe of that was a mistake. The penalty, that's the NFL's fault, because that should be reviewable.
You're getting worked up.
You talk about the 2-minute warning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the NFL's fault, but I applaud the Lions for taking advantage of it. Because think about it. If it was the other way around, Detroit probably would have been angry at the refs and not paying attention, and they hit them with the 2-piece combo, and nobody saw that play coming. So good for Detroit for taking advantage of a bad situation.
Mobile Goff.
You know, at the end of the game, I did text that to my friends. Mobile Goff season.
Here's the deal. From here on out, in the Prop Bet Casino, there will be a Mobile Goff stat.
Yes.
Over under 7.5 rushing yards.
Every time he does it, I feel like he's muttering like the Hamburglar F. Costa. And he's just like, I'm going to seal this game with my feet. Mobile Goff.
Because it was the play that no one saw.
Three games, three critical first downs.
The defense, is that allowed? Is that fair?
David, here's all I'll tell you, right? When you look at, and box scores can be misleading.
Oh, yes, they can.
But when you look at this, let's start out with the bread and butter of the Lions defense. You will not run the football on us. James Conner, 9 carries for 17 yards.
Correct.
James Conner's been a menace. You just took away the running game. From a quarterback standpoint, David, Kyler Murray threw the ball 35 times. He barely had 200 yards passing.
That's the defense.
And you took it away. Yeah. Now, offensively, here's where I take issue with what you said. You're right in that it wasn't as effective as you'd like. You'd love to get to 30 points. But your quarterback goes 18-23 for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. The one pick, that was a tough moment.
Understood.
That's tough. But the running game. David, they averaged damn near 5 yards a carry for 40 carries.
No, that's wonderful. The part I have a problem with their offense is, other than the overtime game this year, when you went out and scored when you needed to score, when else have they been able to do that this year? And that's my problem, because when you come in the NFL, you're going to have to go out there in the middle of a game and have a drive and say, you know, we have to score on this drive. They haven't shown me that ability yet this year.
Right, but when you're up to – here would be my argument, and then we'll get to the people. 248-539-9797. When you're up 2 scores in an NFL game and your defense is balling, you as a Steeler fan ought to know it's okay to punt, play defense. You want to do this ego stuff like you're on PlayStation, that's just not real. Yes, the offense is going to round into form, but I'm listening to the fearless leader, Dan Campbell. Hold on. I'm listening to Dan Campbell, and all I'm saying to you is, by the bye week, I think this thing will come out of the bye, and it's going to look right. That's how I feel. People, give me your thoughts. And if, as I said, if you are walking around fully engorged and you want to bring baseball to the mix, go for it. It's a mortal lock. You're in. Now I'll be disappointed if we got to pitch Scooble this weekend. Why? Because the Twins can't win games. We've been trying to tell you this. Hell, they shouldn't have won Friday night. Did you see that clown car?
injuries piling up for the Lions was one thing after another. The latest being Frank Ragnow. Maybe people didn't see this at the end of the day. He's listed as week to week with an injury. We can go through some of these, but yeah. Let's start with Frank because, hey, offensive line, tough. You've got a good read on Frank. How concerning is this?
I think he fights through it. He gets an extra day to get ready for Monday Night Football, and then there's a bye week. And so the argument is, well, do you give him the week off and allow him basically 3 weeks to recover?
That's my thought. If he's week to week, it's a torn pec, by the way.
Right. Or do you say, you know what? It's not going to get that much better. Let's just, you know, I mean, being in that position, give me a shot and let's get through this one. Then I can recover. I'll have 2 weeks.
Is there a risk of tearing it worse?
I'm not a doctor.
Right.
And I did not sleep in a really good hotel last night. Or marginally good, however you want to say it. But
well, did you have or do you have teammates that had something similar? I know there are.
Yeah, I mean, I had a torn calf, and there is always the risk that you can tear it more. You could completely tear it. Yes, that's always the case. But the thing about it is does it get worse or how much worse? And how bad is it now? Is it a slight tear? Is it holding on by like one fiber? Like then you're sitting there going, well, I don't know. That's the information that we don't have.
Right. And we'll get maybe a little more clarity. We have Dan Campbell on today, 9:02, different time today on a Tuesday.
Oh, sure. I'm sure he'll be very,
very revealing. I'm sure he'll give us the whole medical diagnosis.
Yes.
But maybe a better idea as of how they're going to handle it,
yeah.
Whether we should lean towards expecting him on Monday night or take the other route, which is, hey, it's a long season. You're chasing a Super Bowl. Maybe it'd be best to give the guy almost 3 weeks to try to get some level of healing.
Right.
This is not season ending. And you don't want it to be season lingering more than it has to be.
Right. But I also, it's going to be season lingering no matter what.
You don't think there's a, well, yeah, I guess.
No, there's no path to completely healing between now and unless they say, hey, we're going to hold you out for 8 weeks.
Which they're not going to do.
Right.
I mean, and he doesn't want that.
No.
What was the story? Was it last year where he had like a procedure done midseason and he only missed, I think it was one game?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's tough. He's as tough as they come. Some of the other injuries that are piling up following the Lions' win over the weekend, Marcus Davenport, his season is done.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
No, I think it was initially reported elbow, then torn tricep, so that same part of the body. Season ending, I think, is what Campbell confirmed yesterday at the podium.
Yep.
Some other updates, Brian Branch, concussion, he's in the protocol.
Yep.
Aleem McNeil, shoulder, was thought to be maybe longer term, is listed as day-to-day, according to Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. Sam Laporta, day-to-day with a low ankle sprain. We saw him get hurt on the hook and ladder play, did kind of tough it out and get back in the football game.
Love the fact that it was a low ankle sprain versus the high ankle sprain.
Yes, good designation. And did I miss anybody else, John?
Derek Barnes.
Oh, Derek Barnes, which is a more long-term injury.
Yeah. You know, and this highlights the whole Marcus Davenport highlights the should have gone and gotten somebody else on the edge because, I mean, has there been a sighting of James Houston anywhere?
No.
Anywhere?
Scratch two of the three games.
Yeah, healthy scratch.
Yep.
And so, I mean, he's going to have to step up and play more. It's obviously going to be more on Josh Pascal. And this is going to be more on what we – it's one of the things that we heard from the offseason during training camp is – the flexibility of some of these players to play multiple position. Levi Onwuzurike maybe has to play a little bit out of position, but has been, you know, has lived up to the discussions that everybody has talked about. And so, yeah, you're going to start moving guys around, but you're not going to have a true edge guy setting the edge. Pascal, hey, this is your opportunity. Step up, you know, and captain in college, guy that, you know, drafted for a number of different reasons, has been banged up. Much like Levi Onwuzurike, you're going to have to step up and be counted.
So then, if it's not James Houston, I think that's kind of an indictment on why is he even on the roster, if I'm being honest.
I think we've all asked that question over the last 3 weeks.
And I respect however the coaching staff views him. If they don't view him as a guy who is a difference maker at the edge position, if they think he's a third down specialist only, maybe they didn't like that he couldn't pick up the Sam linebacker role, whatever. Yeah. He's clearly not one of their favorite players.
Mm-hmm.
If he is not feature, is a strong word. If he's not a guy that picks up some slack here, cut him. Use the roster spot on somebody else. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay.
I support that. And it's not, and it's also, okay, cut him, but then you've got to find somebody to fill the void left by Marcus Davenport, left by James Houston, that's been a no-show. That guy may not be on the street, probably isn't on the street, but you're going to have to find a way to trade for someone.
I'm going to give you a name, and you're probably not going to like it, but I know it's going to get brought up at some point later today on the station.
Is he a Jet?
Yeah, John, he's a Jet.
Don't like it.
Okay. Is it at least worth you saying his name and just at least asking that question? Because I know you don't want malcontents. You don't want bad locker room guys, people who are holding out, whatever.
Guys that are going to walk around in their samurai outfit.
What's wrong with a samurai outfit, John? You keep bringing that up with
me.
Well,
it's a samurai outfit when you have mini camp and you're posting this. You are, you know, wagging your tail in the face of your team.
So I thought about this yesterday, and then a ticket texter this morning threw something out there. Because of the 0-3 Bengals, a situation to watch. Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah. There was discussion in the offseason.
He has he's through next year's contract.
So short term, already signed.
Yeah. I think they've really got to go in the toilet to do it.
Oh, I'd but much prefer man. That.
Trey Taylor. And Taylor Decker, Craig said it to the Bengals.
Right, yes. It's everybody's favorite trade option.
It's something to watch. Everybody always throws Max Crosby out there, and I get it. I mean, could be a little more viable and financially responsible move because he signed through just next year, and then those other contracts will start hitting down the road.
Yeah, again, Hassan Reddick, I don't think they want to give him an extension, which is why he's not playing in New York, and I don't know that the Lions would be dying to give him an extension either. His name is going to come up today because he has had double-digit sacks each of the last four seasons, including 16 sacks for the Eagles 2 seasons ago when they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
For the reasons we've discussed, I don't think this is going to happen.
And everybody's going to also bring up missed opportunities. And I think Matthew Judon is probably the top one where, a third-round pick that got him away from New England? It is now in Atlanta. Like that one, you're like, maybe we should have gone down that road earlier, knowing the injury history of Marcus Davenport.
248-539-9797, taking some inventory, looking at that injury list piling up. Take some of your thoughts on that, the pass rushing spot. Are you more or less confident in this football team after last week's win? It's 97-1.
Jared Goff talking about how well the defense is playing. 248-539-9797. We'll get to some college football stuff at 102. We barely had a chance to talk about the Wolverines and the Spartans with interesting games. Paul is in Clinton Township at next air on 97.1. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, you know, with the Lions, one thing that I for sure took out of watching that game was Terrion Arnold. Okay. First off, I disagree that was a pass interference penalty, and I don't think he'll get those in his future, but he went up against the guy that everybody is saying is the generational new wide receiver talent coming into the league, a surefire guy, and he played him pretty much straight up with no help the majority of that game, and he pretty much boxed him up for the vast majority of it, being left alone. I mean, and I think that definitely bodes well for the future and should be acknowledged because he took some grief on these airwaves the past couple of weeks, and I thought he for sure deserved a shout out.
Because, yeah, he definitely held his own. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. had 5 catches in the game for 64 yards, which was less than 13 per catch. He had a long of 17, and I'm not sure if that was on him, if that was on Arnold or not. He wasn't guarding him the whole time, covering him the whole time. But your point is valid. I think he's been a solid player through the first 3 weeks. Yes, he's a rookie. Yes, he's made some mistakes, but he comes back and he learns from those mistakes, and that interference, the third week in a row, we're talking about a pass interference call with Terrion Arnold, and yet I didn't have much of an issue with that when he just kind of stood in his place, stood his ground, the receiver runs into him, gets the call. We go to that same play a week ago, and Jamison Williams runs into a defender who's just standing there, and he doesn't get the call, but they throw the PI on Arnold.
Well, and he's a rookie, and I think it was on your show. You guys had noted what Carlton Davis had said about how he was officiated during his first year, being a press type man to man corner, and he said that it changed over a period of time when refs got used to him and he got used to how they were going to call it. I thought he played great yesterday against, and he was matched up. I don't know what the percentage, but it sure seemed like about 65-70% of the time with Harrison Jr. And I don't think he did very much against him. I mean, he was okay.
Paul, I'm glad you called, because there were ample examples of him being in phase, running stride for stride with a wide receiver. And some of, yes, against Marvin Harrison Jr. There is a lot to like so far about Terrion Arnold. And I know people will focus on the penalties, and yeah, they suck, but he's a rookie. The penalties suck, but getting them, but he's a rookie. There's ways he's going to get officiated, and there's things that he needs to learn. The biggest challenge is being able to be in position in the first place. Almost every one of those PIs is him being in position and doing something wrong to pick up a pass interference. The toughest part of the job is being in position, and he's doing that.
It's so strange because I don't have any concerns with Terrion Arnold. He's got all these penalties on him. I think he leads the league, actually, as far as the defensive back. But he's tough. I think he's got ultra confident about his skill set, and Dan Campbell speaks about it all the time. He's out there the very next play on the receiver, stride for stride. And I think he's got to clean up some technique stuff, but I think that stuff, it can be cleaned up and it's correctable. So I feel like he's going to be a good corner for the Lions.
And I thought I heard them say during the TV broadcast at some point that the percentages of throwing on him they've completed a lot of the targets towards Terrion Arnold. And I'm like, okay, I think they have, but have they been damaging? It doesn't feel like they've been damaging.
Not particularly.
No.
The most damaging.
I mean, the interference.
Calls the interference.
That's, in the first couple of weeks, but I don't feel like he's given up that 50-yard play or even a 20-yard play.
No, he did. He did well in man coverage yesterday. 248-539-9797. Matt's in Bay City and next. Hello, Matt.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Great.
So I'm going to say something about the Lions defense that made me really excited. You lost some players in that game, but they still stayed as a group. They played good. They lost Branch for a little bit, and then they had the backup linebacker and then Barnes getting carted off. But you had Newman. You didn't really hear from him from the preseason. He played really well. Levi goes down, and then you have other people that just mesh up. And got to give credit to Aaron Glenn, man. This defense is looking really good. Yeah, Terrion Arnold made I don't think that was pass interference either, but he's been going up against some really good receivers, and he's been playing really physical, and this is the type of defense Aaron Glenn wants to play, man-to-man on the outside and physical with the defensive line.
They're getting a job done. Aaron Glenn has been given more material to work with, and there is no indication yet that this group is taking anything but steps forward. And, they had to do it with depth guys.
So as we're talking about this, Lions Fan Report has tweeted out, they do a lot of analysis, Terrion Arnold versus Marvin Harrison Jr., 6 targets, 2 receptions allowed for 31 yards. He also had a pass breakup and no touchdowns allowed.
So it's a decent day.
It's a pretty good day.
If those numbers are accurate, that's a decent day.
You got to credit Aaron Glenn, and they're pretty, and they're pretty deep. Like the caller mentioned, they had a lot of injuries. I got to ask you again, Gator, and it's not picking on you by any means or anything, but because you're a James Houston guy, inactive, and they're getting some injuries. Do we see James Houston play a big role this upcoming week? And I'm just worried about the confidence the coaching staff has in Houston to not put him out there, on Sundays at this point.
I mean, I want to see him, but only if it makes sense. If they have, I don't know what the injuries are to the team this week. They're getting a pass rush. They're not getting home as much as you'd like to see them, but they're forcing early throws and they're incompletions. And that's getting the pressures and getting the quarterback hits. That matters. But we'll see who's available and who isn't. If Aleem McNeil is banged up, I mean, that's not a James Houston replacement. That's bring up Pecco and let him play, or you rely more on, the other guys that they have. So I don't know. At this point, don't we totally trust Dan Campbell to make the decisions?
I do.
Who's going to play on game day?
So 100.
As much as I want to see Houston play, whatever Campbell says.
Yeah, they're making so many correct calls these days that, I mean, if things start to go south, you can look and say, could they be doing it any better? But right now, defense is just not their problem.
No, it's not. It's been their specialty to this point.
248-539-9797. Bill in Sterling Heights, you're next. Hi, Bill.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
White cheddar Doritos. Sorry about that.
Not bad. The white cheddar Doritos sound good.
Yeah. Lunchtime. But, Champ, excuse me, Champ and Chump, that guy stole a little bit of my thunder because I was going to say Aaron Glenn because this defense for a while now, going back like a season and a half, has been like really consistent with the different personnel. And I just think, in the beginning he was a scapegoat. I think he's gotten some of the props he deserves, but Aaron Glenn is my champ and my chump. My wife and I were in Frankenmuth over the weekend and you guys know that whole deal in there, you walk down that main strip, there's a lot of kids, a lot of families, a lot of dogs. And these D-nozzle, my chumps are these D-nozzle bikers that drive through Frankenmuth on their Harleys, which is fine, but they've got their music turned up like all the way, roaring through the middle of town, and they're not stopping. They're just driving through. I mean, hey, if you want to go take a drive on your bikes and crank your music, that's cool. But I don't need to hear.
But not up in Frankenmuth.
But listen, man, at the stop sign, cranking Highway to Hell at 300 decibels. Driving through Frankenmuth, that's like a total D-nozzle move.
Trying to get the party started.
thank you. We got your vote down for rude motorcycle riders being loud in Frankenmuth.
What is this, from 1957? What is?
Write down his vote, Doug.
I did. I wrote down bikers with loud music. In
Frankenmuth. Be specific.
Yes.
I did. Okay.
Playing Highway to Hell.
Playing Highway to Hell, 300 decibels. Yeah.
Up in the Mooth.
That's pretty loud.
Okay. That's loud.
Highway
up
to Hell.
Up in the Mooth? Is
up
that what you call
up in the Mooth. Mooth? Yep. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
All right, 3 o'clock. Nice to have you with us. Tigers coronation tonight at 6:40. They get the Sox. They win. You're in. No, I don't want to worry about the Twins losing again, although they'll probably do that. I want to ask TJ one baseball question or one football before we get back to the Tigers. Because, again, Monday Night Football affords us the luxury. We can talk about the Lions Monday.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't realize that.
Frank Ragnow being gone.
Yeah.
You played the offensive line. You know what the center does. You know how important they are. And you know how damn good Frank is.
Yeah.
How am I wrong in thinking that's a massive loss for this team?
Man, I told you were wrong last week about Michigan running the,
I'm not busting your balls.
And then you are right. So, I don't think it's massive only because I think Graham Glasgow is a starting center in this league. I think he's an above-average starting guard, and I think he's an above-average starting center if he were to be a center. So, are you weaker at two positions? Probably, but I don't think by much. You're weaker at center, certainly. Frank's an all-pro guy. But I don't think it's a huge drop-off, and look, it sounds like Coyote Awosika is going to get the nod at left guard, and he started a lot of games. He started the NFC Championship game and played really, really good against San Francisco. So I think they have a capable starter there. Is it ideal? No. Is it your best five? No, it's not. But
yeah, he was good in the first half. Second half, they started to wear him down. But
a little bit. I mean, he got beat a couple times, but it wasn't a game where it's like, oh, man, if Jonah Jackson were in there, we would have won that game. Like, he did his job, you know what I mean? And I think he was solid. And I think that Ben Johnson talked this week and said, they made a point back in the offseason to, I think he said, pound the table to get Graham Glasgow back, not only because he's an above-average guard, but he can play multiple positions. And if anything happens to Frank, I'm not looking at my notes.
What do you have, a trapper keeper?
No, I was trying to find out the...
He's got graph paper. He's back in math class. Look at this. What is that?
Here's the thing. Seattle's defensive front, I don't think, is great by any means. They're not San Fran. They're not Dallas. They're not any of these, you know, Baltimore, any of these other teams that, you know, you got to look at and say, oh, man, they got a D-tackle. We got a double team the entire time. So this week, I think they're going to be okay. Which is why it gives me confidence, and I kind of teased at it, you know, during the prop bet casino. I think the Lions are going to win big, but it's certainly a big loss. But I think Graham has enough experience at that position to where you shouldn't necessarily take a gigantic step back. And he's smart too. Graham is a smart guy. He's able to make all the calls. He's able to do everything that Frank does when it comes to the mental side of the game. Physically, is he as good as Frank? No, but that's not a knock against Graham. There aren't many. There might be one center in the league that might be better than Frank, right? But no, I think they'll be just fine.
So no fall off like you saw in Philly when Kelsey left.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be an entire different offense, and we got to change everything because we're missing our center. The challenge is going to be communicating. I think anytime you have shuffling parts, where okay, now I got a new center and a new guard, that affects the left tackle, that affects the right guard, right? How many reps has Kevin Zeitler got with Graham Glasgow at center on some double teams or some, you know, pass protections or passing off stunts? Probably not many. So you might need to kind of expedite that chemistry when it comes to those guys. And Taylor Decker, how many times has he practiced this year, you know, next to Awosika? Who knows, right? So you're going to kind of have to just go in there with the trust that, okay, this guy's played a lot of football, right? He played a lot of snaps last year. He's played, whether it's 5-6 years ago, he's got the reps there. He's proven that he can be effective at this position. We just got to go out there and trust each other. And I do think it definitely helps being at home, too. I think when you're playing with a backup center and backup lineman on the road, it's incredibly difficult because the communication is very limited. You're on silent count. You can't listen to the quarterback, right? But when you're at home, you have an advantage, right? You can talk more. You can communicate more. You can get on the same page. So that's why I don't think it's going to be a massive loss. I think they're certainly going to feel it a little bit because that's just the type of player that Frank is. You're missing an all-pro guy. Of course you're going to feel it. But I think they're going to be just fine.
I have a question. Now, this is loosely baseball. I need you to put your trapper keeper away. We need to have a conversation with me, you, and Kenny.
It's a notebook.
It's like graph paper. It's I felt like you were in math class. Here's what I'd like to know. How much damage would you do on a personal level and a marital level if we could get you to bail on this youth sports you don't want to be in, and you and Kenny go to the game tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah. Tonight.
I have to go with Kenny?
Yes, that is a part of the deal.
Oh, them's fighting words.
I would.
Because there was a reason.
I think Kenny, I would love to see Kenny in his element.
Well,
I've never seen him outside this building.
But that's why I was asking.
I would love to see Kenny in his element.
I would love to see TJ in his element.
It would be worth a couple of apologies.
I think so.
And a couple dinner dates.
What type of damage could the two of you do? If you were sitting there, 9-inning baseball game, no responsibilities, and you have a driver for the night.
Okay.
So neither of you are going to do something stupid. But Kenny versus TJ, how many beers in a 9-inning game? Tigers clinching a playoff spot tonight. You escape the hell that is youth sports that you have no interest in.
We're just going at it. We're letting loose.
And it's fun, TJ, the guy who died. I want to know.
I told you I'm still fun from the hours of 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
The point is, Kenny and you.
That's not my fault. All my friends work.
TJ is going to start getting into model trains.
All my friends are at work. All right, now listen.
What do you mean you can't golf on Wednesday at 7:40 in the morning?
No, I have jobs. I got bills to pay, man.
Hey, Bobby, what are you doing? I'm working.
All right, I think to answer your question, I would. I'd never seen Kenny in his element. I'd say I'm a -6.5.
It's a contest. I thought we were just partying.
I would still say I'd give myself a -6.5.
You're laying 6.5 beers.
I don't know if I could keep up with TJ, but I could definitely cover this spread.
You
I'm,
think
I'm
you
in could, the ballpark.
You could stay within a
Buddy,
touchdown.
I'm retired.
Yeah, I know that. That's why I say that. Your fighting days are behind you. I'm in my prime right now.
I got nothing to do most mornings.
I'm knocking dingers, man.
On a number basis. Now, picture it. You're at the ballpark tonight. It's going to be 75. It's not going to be beautiful but it's good enough, right?
Gosh, man, you're making me jealous.
Dude, it's simple. Ugh. Why don't you just put your foot down and go, I'm not going to this stupid hockey game. I'm going to watch the Tigers when they make the playoffs. So the point I'm making is, how many beers would it be? Is it one per inning for you?
Easily.
Okay, so
easy.
Is it 1.5 per inning? You're like Wade Boggs. If you've never, Rico, have you heard the Wade Boggs story?
Yeah. All right. On the plane? Yeah.
This is inflated Boggs. Wow. Right here. I mean, never seen anything like this cat.
I'm no Andre the Giant, but I
No, but you're not 8 feet tall.
An inning lasts, what, probably 15, 20 minutes?
This is a Tigers game we're talking about, though, so they go quick.
On a day like today where you feel like it's going to be a big celebration by 9:30, call it, I'd probably go two per inning. Yeah.
Yeah. One at the top, one at the bottom. So. Yep. I'm with you. I'd probably be right there with you till maybe like the sixth or seventh that I slow down.
That's where the 6.5 comes into play.
There you go.
I'd pull away in the eighth and the ninth inning.
I think I keep it close for long enough.
What would we have to do to make this happen tonight? Seriously, how much damage would it do if you skipped one youth
game? Tell you a lot. Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah.
How bad? How bad? I mean, let's be real.
Well, what do we got to do to make you leave work early, and we'll take you with us so you can be our judge keeper?
Listen, my dream is quitting. What do you want to do?
If you come, Mike... Mike, if you're there with us,
you a favor?
We'll pound beers.
I think you two would be the perfect pairing for a Friday night baseball game.
It sounds like a fun buddy cop movie.
It is.
I'm into it.
You're Kevin Hart and he's The Rock. But it's still you two, because your love of beer, your love of alcohol.
And baseball.
And Detroit. And just... I could see this being reality TV tonight if we could park them both at the game.
You know what? Can we? There's no guarantee, but if there is a playoff game in Detroit, can we make it happen?
I would make that happen for you, yes. Okay. I'll provide the driver, whatever you need. Rico's got a helicopter.
You got the bill covered?
I could take care of that.
Okay.
In order to get content for the show?
I'm in.
Rico, do you know the content this would provide? Do you understand?
I have
a wireless in the stadium.
Right, Mike, but probably after beer number four, we can't use it. You can use it on the pod. We can't use the content anymore.
You might not be able to use it on the pod either. Roberts.
Right.
Jack, players.
TJ starts telling how he really feels about people. Kenny is like, I agree. I've been trying to say the same thing to David and Rico all of this time.
You know, Gov has some good points.
Right.
I was right. Good Lord.
I'll tell you something, Kenny. David doesn't know how hard it is to be white. It's hard out here in the streets. You always had the best ideas. You know what, Kenny? I love you, man.
That's how I see it playing out. And then the Tigers clinch the playoff berth. It would be unbelievable. Serious note. How much trouble would you get in if you just said, I'm not going to the thing tonight? I got a thing to do.
A lot.
Define a lot, though.
I don't even want to imagine.
Oh, my.
You know what, Mike? I think what he's trying to say is
different locations.
The next thing that you would hear is tonight. Mike!
Yeah. I got you, brother. No problem.
You got a spare bed?
Yeah, I got you covered.
For like a month?
I was about to say.
Potentially.
Like TJ,
yeah. Potentially.
That's a lot
eternity?
Of luggage.
Yeah,
that
because
we're
again,
in.
It's all content. It'd be incredible.
Now that would be the buddy cop movie.
Come on.
TJ moves in.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be amazing.
Chronicles of TJ.
Can I bring the kids with me?
Absolutely not.
One of them.
Yes.
Depends on which one.
No.
I love it.
No. No, and I'm not going to say.
Look at that. Hey, David.
No, and I'm not going to say. No, I'm not going to say his kids' names on the air, but no. One of his kids is an absolute gentleman, and I absolutely think that's possible. Okay. We could do that.
No, but him. You make fun of me when I tell still. You make fun of me when I say David has one kid like that. That it's like, you know what? That kid's going to
the difference
grow up
is I can't something. Keep track of the amount of kids he has. We got the Cromartie of radio. That's, I know he's got three kids.
That's the price. You've got to take my kids to the next month of
no,
hockey events.
Absolutely not.
That's the price.
Your life, you've already told me your life's a living so hell. I'm not going to assume that.
It's not worth it. If it's not worth it for you, it's not
you
worth it.
You got to take them from now until
Thanksgiving.
All right. We will get to the phone calls. We have to talk more Tigers. TJ, I'm so sorry. My God. Sounds like things are going great.
It's called being a parent, Michael.
I know, and it sounds awful.
What, David, back there, what? Can you back me up once in a, just one time, David?
David's absentee.
Oh, sure.
He just, you know what excuse he uses? Oh, yeah, I got this thing at the church.
Oh, I got a meeting.
Hey.
God told me I didn't have to do this.
Read something.
Read your paper.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.